Good evening. Welcome to another class. We'll continue where we left off last week. I want to deviate from our textbooks for a moment to kind of go over some information and some thoughts that will cause us to be better prepared as leaders to lead during moments like these in the pandemic. As I stated before, I stated last class, this is not the last pandemic that we're going to face. And so we need to assess where we are. Each of us need to assess where we are, how we making it through this pandemic, what can we do better? Because we as the body of Christ cannot just be surviving. We have to be thriving so that we can be that city on top of a hill, ready to reach out and minister to others. And we can't minister to others if we ourselves are trying to survive. And so, as always, I talked about three areas that we need to focus on. One is a better relationship with the Father, having more fellowship with Him so that we can clearly hear His voice. Number two, improving our health. Apostle has been doing teachings recently on health. He has a plethora of teachings on health on LeroyThompson.tv that you need to make yourself available to. These things we have to pay attention to. Three, we need to improve our stewardship, how we handle our resources. And so that's what we've been focusing on. Apostle been doing an apostolic impartation on healing lately that you need to listen to. He's been doing an excellent job on it. And so I want to focus as ministers. We have to make sure we're taking care of our resources. I'm talking about the nuts and bolts. Just so that we won't be like an ostrich with our head stuck in the sand, thinking he's hiding, and yet his whole body is exposed. We want to make sure we have all our I's dotted and all our T's crossed. Matter of fact, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I've already turned there. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse. This is where we left off last time. I want to continue there because there's some insights that we need to grab a hold of and apply in our lives. I'm talking about literally applying our lives. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 10th verse, say, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. As I mentioned before, the Apostle Paul made an assumption when he wrote this scripture. And the assumption, how I know, he said, now he that ministers seed. So, other words, now, okay, we got everything out the way. Now I can tell y'all this. So there's an assumption made. What is that assumption? That we can determine the difference between seed and what's for our consumption. So we have to become efficient in that, being able to determine what is seed and what is for our consumption. How I know? Because the Apostle Paul divided it. He said, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply the seed sown. So God multiplies bread for our food and multiplies the seed that is sown. So the assumption that Apostle Paul makes is that we can determine and decipher every piece of money that we get into our hands. Let me tell you something. The words money cometh are prophetical, and they are operating in your life right now. The problem is, when we get to this point of determining what is seed and what is for our consumption, we get that messed up. And so we wound up consuming seed, or we don't sow what God is asking us to sow. We consume it. There's a scripture in the Bible talking about you ask amiss, or you don't ask the right questions because you want to consume it on your own lust. The Apostle Paul here is stressing to us the fact of we have to be able to determine what is seed and what is for our consumption. Now, that is important because if we can't determine that in our lives, then it's impossible for us to operate in the principle of seed, time, and harvest. If we're not open, go to Luke 16 because 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 and Luke 16, then I'm going to connect another scripture to it, Luke 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, we read that. Go to Luke, the 16th chapter. Watch this. I'm going to connect another scripture to it. We went over the scripture before, but I need to make sure you understand this. and grab hold of this and make the necessary adjustments. Sometimes the decisions will be tough. Am I consuming too much? Why is it I don't have enough? God always makes sure you have enough. The question is, when you get it in your hands, what are you doing with it? See, that's the issue with debt. Debt is not evil. Debt is not a bad thing. Anything that you abuse can become bad. For some people, too much sun. Even though the sun is a good thing, the sun come out just about every day. It comes out every day, but we see it some day, we don't see it. But the sun, too much of it can harm some people. So too much of anything can cause detrimental effects on your life. So in other words, too much debt can have an adverse effect on your life and your ability to do what God is asking you to do. Grab hold of that now. Grab hold of that. So this is why you have to be, we're going to Luke 16. This is why you have to be led by the Spirit of God. Watch what Luke 16, what I say, Luke 16, verse 10. Very important. Are you there? It reads, he that is, listen to this, faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Now, this is out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus is saying, I know what you're going to do with a lot based on what you do with what you have now. I know what you're going to do when you get more, based on what you do with what you have now. Now, watch this. He used a very particular word. He that is faithful, full of faith, full of assignment. That simply means hearing the voice of God. This is what Jesus is saying. He that hears the voice of God with what he has now will hear the voice of God when he has more. That's what faithful means. Jesus said, I know what a person is going to do when I give them more by what they do, what they have now. If you can hear the voice of Jesus with what you have now, then you'll easily be able to determine what is seed and what is for your consumption. Look what the next verse says. And this is key. For ministers, this is key. If therefore you have not been what? Faithful. Full of assignment, if you have not been able to hear my voice, if you have not been able to obey my voice in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That leads me to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We come back to Luke. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Watch this. Look what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Watch this now. Jesus is essentially saying, if I can't trust you to hear my voice with the most influential force in the natural, which is money, let's be real, which is money, people work 40 hours plus a week. The other time that they either spending it, making it, money. So money is one of the most powerful forces in the natural. Jesus said, if you can't hear me and hear my voice and obey me when it comes to dealing with the most powerful force in the natural, then I can't give you access to the most powerful force, which is to get whatever you want done when you want it done. Talking about God's sovereignty, God's unchecked power working in your life on your behalf to accomplish his agenda. If he can't trust you with unrighteous man, so now if we as ministers are to lead God's people and we can't hear his voice when it comes to the most powerful force on the earth, how is it we can hear the voice of God when it comes to leading other people? People are more important than money. So Jesus said, if you can't hear my voice when it comes to money, then you're not going to be able to hear my voice when it comes to leading people. Watch what he says in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the very first verse. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Notice that word, stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithful. Full of assignment. All right, hold your finger there. Go back to Luke, the 16th chapter. Watch this. Verse 10, it says, he that is what? Faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been what? Faithful in the unrighteous mammon, meaning money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Let's take it even further. Verse 12, aligns about our men. This is scripture is very important to us. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, talking about covenant, who shall give you that which is your own? So this faithful thing is important. Being faithful over our own lives. Being faithful with our money. Being faithful with our health. Most importantly, being faithful in our relationship to the Father. What do you mean faithfulness to our relationship to the Father? Jesus said, I don't do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. I don't say but what the Father tells me to say. That's Jesus being faithful to the Father, being faithful to his relationship. See, we're going to need all three of these things working in our lives so that we can lead others, so that we can prepare others, so that we can mature others so that they can do the work of the ministry, so the body of Christ can be built. So if I can't take care of my resources, if I can't take care of my health, if I can't take care of my relationship with the Father, then how in the world am I going to teach others how to take care of their health, take care of their wealth, and take care of their relationship with the Father? So this faithful thing is important. Can I hear the voice of God when it comes to my money? Do I even want to hear the voice of God? I stated this before, but this is very important. One of the most important things that you must realize in this world system is that you cannot let the world system define prosperity and wealth for you. I say that slowly and surely and softly again. You cannot let the world system, you cannot allow them to define prosperity and wealth for you. Let that sink in because this is important. Say it again. You cannot allow the world system to define wealth and prosperity for you. Why? Because the world system cannot be trusted. What I mean by that, if you allow the world system to define prosperity and wealth for you, then they're only setting you up to be a consumer, because conveniently, the definition they gave you, conveniently they have the stuff to sell you to help you fit that definition. Well, isn't that amazing? The world says define wealth and prosperity. Then they conveniently have the stuff to sell to you to fit this definition. It starts up here. Turn me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Let me show you something. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Watch this. We have to be able to determine what is seed and what is for our consumption. We have to allow God's system to fulfill our desires. Listen to, oh, thank you, Jesus. We have to allow God's system to fulfill our desire. Do you hear me say anything about debt, not getting in debt? I didn't say that. I didn't say not to get debt. I said don't abuse it. Listen to me. I've seen this over and over with apostles' life and my life. When God tells you to get something, and God tells you to do something, God tells you to get something, to purchase something, and you have to purchase it using debt, you're no longer responsible for paying for it. God is. See, some people, God have told you to get something, you didn't have the cash, but you was able to qualify for it. But what you forgot to do was ask God for wisdom on how to pay for it. So some of y'all right now are in debt, and the only thing holding you back from paying off that debt is asking God, how does he wants to do it? Listen to me, people. Asking God, how does he wants to do it? Now, for some of us, when we ask God that question, God may get quiet on us. Why? Because he ain't tell us to get that. So now you got tough decisions you got to make. Ask God for wisdom on how I need to align to his plans for my life. Am I supposed to have this type of car right now? Am I supposed to have this size house right now? See, you cannot let the world system define what wealth and prosperity is for you. You can't define it, because that's why they come out with new items every year, new models of cars, new clothes, new shoes, new places to eat, new vacation spots, new adventures. Because they're trying to keep you engaged in being a consumer. Look at Matthew, the sixth chapter. Watch this. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Verse 32. Watch what verse 32 says. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And we talked about this before. All what things, whatever this world system looking for to make themselves happy, they're seeking after. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now this is Jesus talking. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now the question is, you have need of all these things. Do you think Jesus is actually talking about you're supposed to have everything everybody else has? Or was he talking in general about whatever the world system is seeking after that you desire? That's the key, that you desire. God already knows that you need it. He's not talking about you having everything. He's really talking about you having the desires of your heart. Go to Psalms, the 30th. It's very, that these two scriptures are connected. Psalms, hold your finger there in Matthew 6, 32. Because I'm a sandwich. Matthew 6, 32. We're going to read Psalms 37 and 4. Then we come to Matthew 6, 33. All right? Because we're going to sandwich Psalms 37 and 4 in between Matthew 632 and 633. And watch how it makes sense. Watch this. Turn to Psalms, the 37th chapter. These are all familiar scriptures, by the way. Look at verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Wow. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, that's a play on words. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just saying this. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Not only will God give you the item, but he will give you the desire for the item. I know the thoughts, Jeremiah 29:11. God is talking, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. But what we got to do first? Trust in the Lord. We got to trust him. We got to trust our creator, that when we follow him, he will make sure we experience everything in life that will cause our life to be fulfilled. So that means I don't have to look at the world system definition of prosperity and wealth and think I have to attain their definition. Now, their definition and what God has for you sometimes may coincide, but I will not leave the will of God to attain the world system definition of prosperity and wealth. Because the Bible says that God has pleasure in our prosperity. So here it is, he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire. Not only will he give you the item, he will give you the want for that item. Now go back to Matthew 6:33. Watch what it says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word but just eliminated everything before. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What it is, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall do what? Direct your path. What path he directed you on? Down the path of thoughts that he's already thought about you. Now, here's the question. Don't you think that the path, the thoughts that God has already thought about you, the path that God wants you to walk, has everything you need to live a prosperous life? It has nothing to do with the definition of wealth and prosperity that the world has. Oh, my goodness. This is good. The path that God has for you. See, this is why you can't let the world system define. What I mean by letting the world system define wealth and prosperity for you. You sitting there watching TV. You just lay back and unconscious watching TV, just being entertained. All of a sudden, a commercial comes on with a certain vehicle and a certain movie star sitting in the vehicle. And they're driving and the hair is blowing and the sun is shining, top down. And all of a sudden you like, that's prosperity. And they telling you, if you want to live this type of life, this is the type of car you must have. So in your mind, you're like, I need to get that. You haven't consulted God. You haven't consulted the Holy Spirit. So now you start pursuing going after that, seeing if you can qualify for it. Instead of saying, God, I like that. God, I desire that. Okay, God, I'm going to obey your voice. I'm going to obey your voice. It might be somewhere you want me to sow. It might be not time for me to have that yet. You have to put yourself in a position to where you can determine the difference between seed and what's for your consumption. When you delight yourself in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You will easily be able to determine what is seed and what is for consumption. Now, notice God said he'll multiply. He'll give you bread for your food in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. And do what? Multiply the seed sown. If God will come and multiply the seed sown, which he does, he says, as long as the earth remaineth, be seed time and harvest. And he multiplied the seed sown. That means you're going to have more in the long run to fulfill all those desires that you have. But you cannot let the world system, another, they, a gated community. They say if you want to be the upper echelon of our society, you need to be living in this particular neighborhood. That's not necessarily true. You cannot let the world system define what wealth is for you. You can't let nobody else define. Let me tell you one thing you got to do. One thing that I had to do in my life, I had to cut everybody out of my life that was competitive, always bragging about what they have, always talking about what they're going to buy. So it creates a competitive spirit. See, we have to get in the middle of the road. We can't get in one side of the ditch and get out that ditch and get in the other side of the ditch. The prodigal son was in one side of the ditch. He wanted everything and he sold it and spent everything. But then we can't get on the other side of the ditch either and say, like the rich farmer in Luke 12, where he said, I'm going to be a bigger bonds and save my stuff. And I'm not going to do what God, I'm not going to share my stuff. I'm going to save my stuff. We have to get in the middle of the road. We have to be prepared for, economic downturns that we can thrive during those times, not just survive, because that particular, car that you wanted during the good times ain't gonna eat well during the bad times. Do I have biblical proof of that? Yeah, God gave Joseph wisdom on what to do during the seven fat years so they could be prepared for the seven lean years. Stop watching other people in their walk with God, with their finances, and stop watching everybody, other people in the world system about how they spend their money. You mind your own business. What business? The business of running your life. So this is the only way we're going to be able to be impactful leaders, is that we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed. That we're put in a position to where we can say what thus said the Lord, regardless of what anybody say or how they feel. Moses was wealthy. Had to be wealthy. Why? Because Moses had to go into Egypt, where Pharaoh wasn't really on his side and the children of Israel wasn't on his side, but he still had to say what thus said the Lord. So that means he had to survive financially during that times, meaning he was independent of the system. David, independent of the system. Jesus was independent of the system. Independent of the system. So he was able to say what thus said. Elisha, independent of the system. You have to become independent of the system. I just read an article today. People was in Texas, and of course it's freezing weather, and their power grids went out, and one of the senators, Ted Cruz, popped up and went on power grids are out, took a trip to, I believe it was somewhere in Mexico, went on vacation. Media found out about it, talked about it and saying he should, wait a minute, that's not Ted Cruz's fault. He's an individual, being independent of the system. What has happened is all those people were dependent on government to provide power for them. Why didn't someone have to? I know everybody in Texas is not freezing. There's some people in Texas that had generators. They had the resources to install a whole house generator. So they had heat. See, that's what I mean about being independent of the system. Independent system means no matter what they decide to do, I'm going to thrive. See, all it took was money to get the generator on your house. That's all it took. And God is willing to provide it. So you have to get independent of the system. Moses got to a point where he didn't care if the Israelites didn't like, the children of Israel didn't like Moses for a while. Go back and read that story. They didn't like him. Pharaoh didn't like him. Moses didn't care. He was independent enough to say what thus said the Lord. What I'm trying to get across to you, we have to become independent of the system. I'm giving you strategies to become independent of the system so you can say what thus said the Lord. All right? One last thing. God will give you, if you allow God to give you the desires of your heart, you will be fulfilled like no other. Last scripture, Ephesians 3. And we'll be back on our textbooks next week. You need to have a seed account. You say, what is a seed account? The world system call it an emergency account. You know, money reserves in case stuff go wrong. But we're not expecting nothing to go wrong. Even though stuff will go wrong, but it won't go wrong in my life. I have a seed account. What it is, I have money put on the side that I can put my hands on whenever God instructs me to. Money that I can put my hands on when I got to deal with something. You need to have a seed account. You say, well, how much I need to have my seed account? Very simple. How much it takes for you to live month to month? Next week, we're going to get into, I thought we were going to text, but I changed. We're going to get into the four laws of debt-free living, of debt-free prosperity book. I hope you got it by now. I hope you don't. You can only find that book on Kindle. That's amazing. I got hard copies that I bought years ago. But now you can only find that book in Kindle, in digital format. And it's the simplest book for preparing you to be independent of the system. Give you the steps. Give you what you need to do. In addition to that, you read Money Cometh. Money Cometh will condition your soul. So you can allow God to do what he wants to do for you. So Money Cometh conditions your soul. The four laws of debt-free prosperity gives you strategy. You have to condition your soul. You have to change your environment. What's in your environment causing you to be an over-consumer? What is in your environment causing you not to be a sower? Here's the strategy I can find seed. Because you have to discover seed. The money there. The problem is you're eating it. Or you're holding on to it and scared to let it go. Because if he said he's given bread for our food and to multiply seed sown, you need to have a seed account. How much it takes you to live from month to month? You start off, say, I want to save up at least a month. A month where if I don't work, I can survive a month. Then you get up, then you bump it out of 2 months. Then you bump it out of 3 months. God may tell you, go in, I need you to sow this seed. Fear not, you ain't got a problem sowing this seed because you got it there to sow. You sow that seed, now all of a sudden God multiplied, comes back, multiplied. So now you're steady growing. You are becoming faithful with what you have now. When you become faithful with what you have now, Jesus will begin to multiply because he knows you're going to be faithful when he brings more to you. Very simple concept. I hope you get this. Very simple concept. Ephesians 3:20. Watch this. Hey, one more time, and I'm closing this. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What that power is, that's the love of God working in us. I'm not talking about being friendly to somebody else. The way God defines love is if you love me, you keep my commandments. If I love him, I hear his voice when it comes to my resources. Oh, my goodness, powerful. If I love God, I hear his voice when it comes to my resources, when it comes to my money, when it comes to my paycheck, when it comes to my savings account, when it comes to my investments, I hear the voice of God if I love him. And he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think according to that power that works in me. The greatest financial planner you will ever know, we're going to get to this next week, is you. I don't care how much you don't know, but the greatest financial planner you will ever meet is you. Guess what? The greatest financial advisor you will ever meet is the Holy Spirit. So wait a minute. The greatest advisor that I ever meet gets in connection and starts working and starts, and the greatest financial planner, they start cooperating together and build a portfolio out of this world. The greatest financial advisor, the Holy Spirit, get with the greatest financial planner that I ever know is me. They get together and start working together in covenant and create a portfolio that's out of this world. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. We'll continue there next week. Be blessed.